It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you for listening. You're treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Live with intention. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. And thank you for this, and thank you to each of you that are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. And thank you to this team that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday to you, producer Steve.
I was just going to say, let me be the first to say happy Friday, but okay, you got me again. You know, we try to start each day differently with our open in terms of the verbiage that's in it. And every time that phrase goes by, an early taxation district or childhood district, tax district, whatever you say, and that's only for Friday. And every time that phrase goes past me, it's like, well, gee, it seems like we just said that. So,
yeah,
the weeks do fly by.
Yesterday,
yeah,
yes, it is. It's unbelievable. We're halfway through April of 2021, and the days do fly by because there's so much work that we have to do. And I was talking with a whole bunch of girls, actually, several different conversations I had this week, and we talk a lot about it. But I am convinced, Steve, that we here in Colorado are at the tip of the spear on this totalitarian movement. And when I say you are here for a reason, you are. Now, I know a lot of people are moving from Colorado, and I miss them, these people that really believe in this American idea of that we are all created equal with these rights of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. It's the American idea. It's worth conserving and preserving. But we are made for this time. And those of you that are moving away, make sure that the states you're moving to remain focused on those principles as well. It's so interesting to me, Steve, that we are seeing an exodus from these high tax, high draconian regulatory states like New York and Illinois and California. But my friends, if you're moving to a state where you like their policies better, vote for the people that keep those policies in place. And those of us that are in states that really, I think, people do value those things, vote for people that will make sure that they protect them, Steve.
We hear bits and pieces, like obviously there's an exodus in California. I think even a larger exodus out of New York State. And I got to laugh because I see pictures of these billboards in Texas that say, yeah, you're more than welcome in our state, but please don't vote the way you did in California.
I love that because it is so true. Because why ruin Texas or another state? Make sure that we protect those states and then we work like crazy to continue. We have messaging challenges regarding it's easier. I think generally human nature, it's easier to sell free stuff to people than this individual spirit and the dignity of work. But ultimately, that is the American idea. And my friends, remember that socialism is not about free stuff. That is just the carrot to get you to vote for it. They have to have workers. The difference is, do you get to keep most of the fruits of your labor, or is it the elites, the government, that actually takes most of that? That's the big difference, Steve.
It is. And you know, back to your comment that you make frequently about Colorado being the Petri dish. Why wouldn't we expect that? Our governor came from his previous position, the U.S. House of Representatives. He has lots of contacts and a lot of people calling him up and asking him to do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, if it's for the right cause, his movement, he'll do it.
Well, and that's why I think that the Major League Baseball was moved to Colorado was because he has really been, look at how many executive orders he has issued, still issuing under executive order, emergency mask mandate, what happened to 2 weeks to flatten the curve? We're way past that. But I do think that we're going to have this great miracle the closer that we get to Major League Baseball. You're starting to see that. He actually, we talked about it yesterday with Commissioner Thomas. He is pulling back that dial, that crazy dial, that even if you got to the very end of the dial that's supposed to be the freest, businesses don't get to totally open up even then. So he's getting rid of the dial. I think we're getting, and I'm excited about it, but the hypocrisy is just seeping all over Colorado.
Saw a great meme that said, gee, if moving the All-Star game to Colorado got rid of COVID, why didn't we do it last year?
True that. Let's continue on. We've got an important bill of the day. Great show planned for you. And we'll talk with Hal Van Herke with Castlegate Knife and Tool, and then Dr. Jill Vecchio. We've got some things to talk about on the vaccine and a couple of other things on that. And then Alan Thomas is an author who's written a really important piece, and it's titled No Freedom in Exemptions. And that'll be in segments 3 and 4. Before we get to all of that, Steve, on Sunday for America's Veteran Stories at 3 p.m. on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM, I interviewed Jimmy Doolittle's granddaughter, Jonna Doolittle-Hoppus. And regarding, this is the 79th anniversary of the Doolittle Raid, which was just 4 months after in World War II, after the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor. It is an amazing interview. Last night, I just thought, I'm going to just search for some of the video on that. I would recommend that you search for some of the video and see these medium-sized bombers taking off from the aircraft carrier, the Hornet. It is fascinating, Steve.
My brother-in-law, I was sharing with him last Friday when we recorded that. We were talking about actually being on the deck of the Hornet. And because of the spacing of the planes, there were how many airplanes?
16.
So the first one obviously had the least amount of distance to roll. And he said, could you imagine being pilot number two in line and watching that first guy go where they disappear from sight and then slowly come back up?
it's amazing. And Jimmy Doolittle, who was the commander of the operation, he was the first one off.
Wow.
You talk about leadership. You talk about leadership. Wow.
There's the not just do as I do, but do as I say type of thing. No, let's do as I do and do as I say.
And those 80 guys, they knew that they might lose their life. And 9, 10, 11, I can't remember exactly, did lose their lives on that mission. So let's continue on, though. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, if something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it, unless you're talking with a 2-year-old. But I'm just teasing. But socialism ultimately comes down to force, and it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And our quote for today, because Alan is going to be on, we're going to be talking about capitalism, the economy. I chose Adam Smith. He was the Scottish economist, philosopher, as well as a moral philosopher, a pioneer of political economy, and a key figure during the Scottish Enlightenment, also known as the father of economics or the father of capitalism. He was just, I think, was he in the grade before you in school, I think, Steve? He was born in 1723 and died in 1790.
Stop it.
Were you?
You think it's because Friday you can carry on like this?
I just couldn't resist. Here we go. This is Adam Smith's quote. He said, As soon as government management begins, it upsets the natural equilibrium of industrial relations. And each interference only requires further bureaucratic control until the end is the tyranny of the totalitarian state. Wow. And he died in 1790. That was a long time ago. Everything's the same each generation, right, Steve?
The power of these quotes, we have said it many times. It could have been made last week. It could have been made 25 years ago. It could have been made 200 years ago.
No.
And human nature is what human nature is.
Human nature is what human nature is. You said you had a couple of different, when we were in preparation, making the phone call, you said you had a couple of different definitions of bureaucracy.
I went out and snagged it just to make sure that this would come back up. And two of them really... I think you'll like these. definition of bureaucracy, excessive multiplication of and concentration of power in administrative bureaus or administrators. Second one, and this one really got me, administration characterized by excessive red tape and routine.
That's exactly right. And they're unelected, and therefore the people, we can't vote them out. And that was never what was supposed to happen in America.
One thing needs to be said. You know, we've been doing this Bill of the Day thing for probably a month now, and almost every one of them without fail will suggest more people being involved, more bureaucracy, people on payrolls, but not people who are elected.
Yes, and that is the big danger for America. Many people call these bureaucracies, these regulatory agencies, the fourth branch of government, the administrative state. The founders knew the danger of that, and we are facing that right now. We need to be rolling that back. This bill of the day makes a step in that direction. It actually has bipartisan support. Out of all the bills of the day, Steve, this and then those election bills, which didn't see the light of day, these have really been the only two possible good ones that we've seen. And I don't know that a lot of people realize there's something called business personal property tax that businesses have to pay on their equipment. So, for example, a pizza parlor has to pay a tax like you pay property taxes on your house. They have to pay a tax on their ovens and on their chairs and on their tables every year. Can you imagine that? Just paying a tax for the stuff that makes your business go? And I have been an advocate to get rid of that because I just think that it makes it difficult for businesses to operate. But this bill, Senate Bill 21, and Senators Holbert and Pedersen, Holbert's a Republican, Pedersen is a Democrat, and Representative Van Winkle, Republican, and Byrd, a Democrat, says that the bill will allow counties, municipalities, and special districts to exempt up to 100% of their business personal property tax from the levy and collection of property taxation for the 2021 property tax year. And it's a step in the right direction. I mean, my gosh, government came in because of all the reaction to the Wuhan, China virus and the disruption in the economy really hurt small businesses. And my gosh, of course, it seems like we should not make them pay taxes on their equipment. So it is a step in the right direction. It's not totally where we need to go, but we'll take baby steps, Steve.
Well, in this process of doing the bill of the day, you and I would talk off air. It's like, who would want this? Where did this come from?
The business personal property tax?
Well, I mean, most of these bills of the day were just so darn far-fetched. This one, like you said, has merit, and I hope they're successful with it. But it just some of the ones are so far-fetched, and you say, who would want this? And you have to ask, well, did their constituents come to them and said, please do this, or is it part of a bigger plan? And that's a whole nother discussion.
This one, I do think probably business came to them and presented this. I don't know that for sure, but that would seem to make sense. But you go a step further. Why on earth in Colorado are we taxing the very things that people need for their businesses to thrive and prosper? It's beyond reason. This is a step most definitely in the right direction. But this show, as you know, we search for truth and clarity and try to help you get your brain around these issues so that you can talk with your friends and your family and your colleagues about that. And thank you to each of you that are contributing to make this happen. And thank you to each of my great sponsors. And one of my great sponsors of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories is Hal Van Herke. He is an entrepreneur. He's the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. It's a family-owned business, and they have blades from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And so whether or not you are a chef or a collector or a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool has an extensive inventory there. Would highly recommend you check out castlegate.com. On the line with me is Hal Van Herke. Hal, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. It's great to be here.
And I heard from one of our listeners that he had dropped by Castlegate Knife and Tool and had purchased a new knife. And he said that your inventory is just amazing, Hal.
Yeah, we're by far the largest retail display of knives in the western United States, by far the largest in the Rocky Mountain region. And we just try to make sure that we have a lot of, for somebody who's taking the time to stop by, we want to make sure we have a very broad selection of knives that they're not going to find anywhere else and a lot to choose from when they take the time to stop by. Also, we have all those knives on the website as well.
And that's CastleGate.com. And you are such a valued sponsor, but you also are really a great commentator on what's happening regarding small to mid-sized businesses here in Colorado, because you are an entrepreneur, you are an owner of a small business. And how recently in the Colorado Sun, there was a headline that said Colorado's unemployment fund is nearly $1 billion in debt, and small businesses are worried about paying the tab. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, Colorado has a track record of mismanaging some of our insurance funds and unemployment funds. Years ago, we had the highest workman compensation rates in the country by far because of the way we managed our funds. During the Great Recession in 2009 through 2011, our fund went into the hole, and they had to borrow money for it, which was probably a good solution. Now they're looking at, because of the pandemic and everything, that the fund is going to be short over $1 billion. And the way this works is, every time you get a paycheck, your employer adds a little bit additional and sends it to the state to fund the unemployment insurance fund. With so many people out of work and not working, that fund didn't receive as much money, but at the same time, people were drawing more unemployment out of that fund. So it's about ready to hit $1 billion in the hole. And one of the options the state is looking at is to try to pass that onto a surcharge for local small businesses, which in some cases could add up to an 84% increase in your unemployment insurance that you have to send in.
Oh my gosh!
Every month. And so, the federal government had sent a lot of money to the states to help offset these types of things, and it's really critical that we get out and voice our opinion to Governor Polis, who has a lot of influence on how that money gets spent. To take the money that was given to him by the federal government for COVID relief and make sure that the fund gets replenished versus spending it elsewhere on pet projects and then having small businesses foot that $1 billion bill on their own. So it's something that, if you value small business and local Colorado businesses, whether they're small or large, and want to maintain high employment rates in Colorado, and then you reach out to your local representative in the state or state house or senate and to Governor Polis's office directly and express an interest in some government relief to replenish that fund versus passing it all on to small businesses.
And so when people would contact them, that would be the narrative is basically, I'm a small business owner and we really have gotten knocked around through this whole reaction to the Wuhan virus and however you want to address that
Don't just put more on top of us. Exactly. Right.
Yeah, don't put more on top of us and take your responsibility and monies that are coming in from the federal government, which that's a whole nother discussion, how the way they're printing that. But that money should be used to shore this up, because that is one of the number one places where people have gone for money. And don't look to small businesses that are struggling to just get things going again. And so that's the narrative you'd really recommend to people.
That's exactly right. And you don't have to be a small business owner. You just have to be somebody in Colorado who's interested in preserving and maintaining small businesses and keeping your jobs at local and Colorado-based businesses. So this one's open to anybody who's listening to go in and voice their opinion about, let's not put this burden all on Colorado business when we've got a lot of relief funds coming in that were earmarked for that, and we should use those.
Absolutely. Hal Van Herkey, thank you so much. You are a valued partner of both of the shows. And Castlegate Knife and Tool It's a great small business. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
And we'll be right back with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity. And a woman that really always is searching for truth and clarity, she actually read the complete Obamacare Unaffordable Care Act so that she would know what was in it, is Dr. Jill Vecchio. And she took it upon herself to really become this expert in public health policy and given hundreds of presentations on this. I'm thrilled to have her on the line today. Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
Hello, Kim. How are you today?
I am well. And you and I, we actually got to spend some time together. We met with a number of girls up in Fort Collins on Monday, and that was really great to get to just be in the car together and just noodle around all the stuff that's going on out there, Jill.
Absolutely. And there's so much to talk about. And, yeah, well, you and I don't get to just hang out very often. You're
Not anymore. But a lot has happened. A couple of things I wanted to talk with you about. First of all, we've seen that there's been a pause on the J&J vaccine. And what's your thoughts on these vaccines right now as we're seeing more people getting vaccinated and starting to see some reactions to it? What's your thoughts on all this?
So I have done a lot of research, as usual, on this. So I can tell people some things that they may not be hearing elsewhere, which is what I always like to do. So I've been on the CDC website, and it's cdc.gov. The website is, like, very complicated to try and navigate, but it's definitely worth going on that website because the truth is out there. It's right there on the website, and you're going to see things on that website that you're not hearing anywhere else, and the media isn't talking about it, but it's right there in front of our faces in black and white if you just go to the – if you look for it. Which it tends to be the case with most truth, right? It's right there if you look for it. The pause for the J&J vaccine, and this is according to the CDC's wording, it's only a pause so that what's happening is, and I don't know if you've talked about this already with other people, the unusual blood clots are happening, and these are blood clots that are very, very rare medically. There's a blood clot that happened in 6 people, granted. So millions of people have been vaccinated. So this is a very rare reaction, but it's also extremely rare to have this kind of clot. So it's bizarre and does seem to be vaccine-related. The pause is not to decide whether or not to take the vaccine off the market or to, you know, like stop vaccinating people or anything. It's a pause in the administration of the vaccine so that they can educate healthcare providers to look for this problem. So it's a blood clot in a vein in the brain of the major venous system. So you have arteries and veins. So arteries go to the tissue, takes oxygenated blood out to the cells, and then that blood, deoxygenated blood, is collected back from the cells, goes into the venous system, and then it goes back to the heart to circulate around and get more oxygen and come back out and do the circle again. So the venous system, the main venous system, big veins in your brain are clotting. Now, like I said, very rare. But if you treat it like a regular blood clot with heparin, it could kill you. So they have to educate. And there's also blood clotting in the abdomen. And these are very, very severe situations for patients. The idea that, I mean, really, we've done automobile recalls on less severe issues than this.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
What we want to do is put this stuff in perspective. Now, also, so if there's an adverse reaction to any of the vaccines, and there have been quite a few. There have been thousands of adverse reactions, thousands and thousands. And I'm not talking about just being sick for a couple of days after you get the vaccine, because that's pretty typical. That's not considered an adverse reaction. That's just the way the vaccine works. It kicks into your immune system and blah, blah, blah. In order to report, like, doctors have to voluntarily report adverse effects to the CDC or FDA through this VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System.
Now, they don't have to. That's what I was going to say. That's voluntary there, right?
Yeah. It's all voluntary. So you think about a busy doctor, and sometimes, so the patients can't report things to the CDC themselves. It has to go through a healthcare provider. Now, so you have to have a doctor. You have to be evaluated by the doctor. They have to determine. So you have to have a doctor's appointment, all this stuff, right? So you have to go through all these hoops for an adverse event. They have a strict list of what adverse events are considered, you know, are considered significant. So the doctor has to, or his staff, have to go onto the CDC website, fill out all this information for any adverse event, and it's all voluntary. Now, let's compare that with how they diagnose COVID. So COVID, a patient is deemed to have had a COVID-related hospitalization, sickness, or death if they have a positive test, if they have symptoms, even flu-like symptoms, shortness of breath, you know, this vast array of kind of relatively nonspecific symptoms can be called COVID even without a test. If they've been around, if they are hospitalized and died, but have maybe been exposed to somebody who may have had COVID. So under those circumstances, this broad definition, somebody will be, that will up the COVID case numbers. But then you think about, and doctors and hospitals, providers are reimbursed. They get more money if they call something a COVID death.
That's the key.
Not only are you not encouraged to report adverse events, you are, it costs you money because it takes you time to do it. It's voluntary. Now, what would happen if they're paying people, paying providers to report adverse events? Totally different story, wouldn't it?
You bet. And that goes back to and you're always asking these questions from Rudyard Kipling. He says, who, what, when, why, where, and who? What would happen? Let's move over. Jill, we were going to try to talk about HIPAA, but I think let's try to schedule you for next week to do that. I just quickly wanted to get your comment on this piece. It was reported by the Epic Times that only vaccinated persons can board evacuation vessels to leave the island of St. Vincent. And they had this big volcanic eruption. And it's like, I can't believe that. What's your thoughts on that?
How many people, there's going to be blood on people's hands for making these decisions. And it's, you can't, like, and the kind of crazy thing is that the COVID rate in the Caribbean is very low. Of course, they'd like to keep it that way. But you're talking about going from one Caribbean island to another Caribbean island. And to my knowledge, hasn't been a big COVID outbreak on St. Vincent. And St. Vincent, St. Lucia, I've been there several times. And it's all of these beautiful islands, the Grenadines. And the idea that the islands are saying, the government is saying, oh, no, you can't come here from St. Vincent because we don't want an outbreak of COVID in St. Lucia or wherever. Well, you don't have an outbreak in St. Vincent, so why would they bring an outbreak to St. Lucia? You know what I mean?
Right.
If you got the same low numbers, then why is this an issue?
And
somebody said, maybe it was you that said, why don't we just have a boat that's non-vaccinated people? But the problem isn't the boat themselves. I mean, part of it is that the cruise lines don't want people on there because, let's face it, they messed up before early on in COVID and had horrible results with outbreaks. But, you know, it's the problem is that the other islands aren't accepting the people that are escaping from St. Vincent. So then,
maybe what we should do is take them over to the south, take
a boat to go somewhere and hop on a plane somewhere else.
Or just go to the southern border. They're letting everybody in here without a vaccine.
Yeah, exactly. Just come on in. Come on in.
Okay. But yeah, no, this is...
I just wanted to mention real quick. Do I have just a second?
Yeah, just...
One
yeah.
other thing? So let's put this into more perspective. So we've got these vaccinations. We're having a lot of reactions Some deaths, as you have with any kind of medication, we're inoculating, or they're trying to inoculate hundreds, or they are inoculating hundreds of millions of people. They want to probably inoculate every single person. Now they're talking about booster shots. Oh, we might have to have a booster. So everybody's working on booster shots. Maybe you have to have that in 6 months. And then an annual vaccination for COVID. And understand these booster shots and these annual vaccinations will not have to go through any additional testing like the first ones did, right? No additional testing. So now you may have three shots before we know the long-term effect of any of this new technology with the synthetic mRNA. Okay?
Wow.
Yes.
So informed consent.
There are thousands of breakthrough cases of people getting COVID even though they've had the vaccine. So honestly, we don't know what the real effectiveness of these vaccines are. It's probably way less than 90%. Okay, let's back up and now compare that to hydroxychloroquine. Many doctors and plenty of studies, you just don't hear about them. There are plenty of studies out there. Again, I have a white paper that's on your website from frontline doctors that talks about the studies and the real science, the actual truth about hydroxychloroquine. Been around 65 years. Insanely rare. Billions of people have taken it over the years. Very, very safe. Can prevent COVID or treat it early on. And doctors are not allowed. Some doctors are being threatened with losing credentialing or losing their medical license for prescribing hydroxychloroquine. Okay.
And
compare those two situations. This is crazy.
It is crazy. And that white paper is, it was last week when you were on the show. It's in that recap. And you can find that recap and just put in Vecchio. That should bring up all those recaps, or it was last week. Jill, we're jammed up on the show. This is such great information. Thank you so much. And let's talk about HIPAA next week.
That sounds great. Thanks.
Okay. And Jason McBride, I guess I won't be going to St. Vincent. How about you?
You know, and I hear Jill talking about these things, three words come to mind, and that's follow the money. As soon as I started hearing, oh, we have to have booster shots and all of this, you know what? Whenever there's government money for free laying around, people will figure out how to take advantage of it. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of these drug companies want to keep the fear as high as they can, so people continue to get another shot, another shot, another shot, paid for by our good old tax dollars. So, you know, that's a pretty smart business model, but I don't know that it's honest or has much integrity to it.
You think, you know, there's two ways to make money, Jason. That is to earn it or to steal it. And I actually think in some ways this is stealing money via fear. And I have not put that in.
The third way, you could just print it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Quickly, Jason, I think I saw a headline that there was, the market went over 34,000 yesterday?
Yeah, you know, the markets actually behaved pretty well yesterday, and a lot of it was just, you know, it was a surprise that the bonds rallied, which means that the interest rates on like the 10-year treasury and the 30-year came down pretty strongly yesterday. Interest rates climbing has been something that, you know, it hasn't really done anything to the market. It's just been a drumbeat there that's maybe had people a little bit nervous. And yesterday, the yields came down. The markets rallied strongly. You know, it looks like today the yields are coming back up, but the futures are still positive for today, Kim, which leads me to what I always say. They had to figure out something to attribute the market's rally to when they didn't really know what it was.
Well, and capital is trying to figure out a place to go. We're seeing this huge infusion of capital because of all the printing of the money. So this market is high, and it very possibly can go higher. But when you always sell into strength, I would recommend that people sit down with you and talk about where they are, and never hurts to put some money in cash, variety of things, but to do a discovery session to help people figure out where they are and where they want to go. How can people reach you, Jason?
Best way is just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. 694-1600. And Kim, I'll point out that we are open for business. We're happy to meet face-to-face. When you come to our office, you don't have to wear a mask. You can if you want to. We give people freedom of choice, and we don't judge either way. So comfortable, no high pressure, nothing like that. Just come and sit down and let's talk. 303-694-1600.
Jason McBride, Senior Vice President with Presidential Wealth Management. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Have a good one, Kim.
And we'll be right back with author Alan Thomas regarding his op-ed that will be in our newsletter this week. Be sure and sign up for that. And it is No Freedom in Exemptions. We'll be right back.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Yeah, thank. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Particularly this week, if you're not on the list, you know if you are that you get all kinds of great information about our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds and podcasts. We'll be rolling out Alan Thomas's op-ed, No Freedom in Exemptions, this week, and you'll get first look at that on the newsletter, and then, of course, it goes to the website. Alan Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thank you, as always, for having me, Kim.
This is a very important piece that you have written, No Freedom in Exemptions. So where should we start on this, Alan?
Well, I guess we can start with kind of the basis of where it came from. And as we all know, Georgia passed a voting bill a couple weeks ago, and there was a lot of disinformation about it. You know, Joe Biden got four Pinocchios by his own mainstream media about talking points about it. And essentially, the Delta CEO came out against the Georgia GOP. The MLB All-Star Game moved, of course, here to Denver. And what happened was is the GOP in Georgia voted, the House Speaker voted to strip Delta of their $35 million tax credit. And really, this article is kind of based in the disappointment I have in Republicans who said we were fighting back against this disinformation by stripping Delta of their $35 million tax credit. And that's really just wrong. Morally, it's wrong to weaponize the government against a company that way. And it doesn't make us look any better than progressive leftists who use regulatory control, who use, for instance, forcing Hobby Lobby to provide healthcare mandates that these lawmakers believe that they should. Really, if the shoe was on the other foot, Republicans would be very upset that government was being used against the company, and we're really lacking that congruity in that principled reaction to these exemptions. And of course, the main point of the article is, if we're going to start with that, if we're going to strip tax credits from these large companies, let's do it across the board. Don't just do it because you disagree with the political with an opponent. Don't just attack people because they're spreading misinformation. Take exemptions out across the board. Take all these tax credits across the board from these large companies.
I so agree with this. And as you mentioned, people on the Republican side have lauded stripping these tax credits, but you've really gotten more to the heart of the matter on this, and that is, why did these corporations get these tax credits to begin with? When I served on city council, all these different towns and counties and state of Colorado, they have quote-unquote economic development offices. Well, economic development sounds great, right? We like that. We like economic growth. It sounds to me like people are going to thrive and flourish and prosper, right? But what I realized is what it really was about was politicians and bureaucrats deciding if somebody got tax breaks or special regulatory workarounds, a variety of different things, which would reduce the cost of them doing business. Well, Alan, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if it's better for one company not to have all those regulations that they have to hoops that they have to jump through, or are paying less in taxes or getting credits back, for them, well, maybe it might be good across the board, lower taxes across the board, and maybe that would be great economic development. And you'd have to get, and then you could get rid of paying these salaries and pensions to people that are these politicians and or these bureaucrats that are picking winners and losers.
Exactly. I mean, it's a perfect example. Another great example of kind of the GOP showing an unprincipled issue, especially in regards to this. If you remember several years ago, Amazon was looking for a distribution center, and they targeted AOC's district. And even though she did it for the wrong reasons, basically she prevented Amazon from opening up a distribution center in her district. And Republicans attacked her like crazy, saying that she cost her district jobs, thousands and thousands of jobs. And of course, you and I were sitting back there going, well, you shouldn't give special privileges to Amazon, of course, of all companies, this multi-billion-dollar, insanely profitable, large company. Why do you have to give them special exemptions just for these jobs? If you were to take away all these exemptions in the first place, you'd probably be surprised at the number of jobs small businesses could come up with and produce. And you know, while we're talking about tax breaks too, why doesn't the GOP in Georgia consider maybe even cutting some of these taxes as well? Because when you give exemptions to the large companies, who bears the brunt of that tax burden? Well, it's the smaller companies, right? Because that tax doesn't go away for them. They don't get a tax credit. So the smaller companies bear the brunt of that tax burden when you give these large companies who have lobbyists, who have really just corporatist cronyism is essentially where all this starts from. It's a trickle-down effect that hurts our small businesses, and it's really just wrong.
Well, and let's drill down on that just a little bit more, and so that people sometimes I actually have to hear things a couple of times. So what you've said is these big corporations, they have the attorneys and the accountants and the lobbyists that they go out and they get these tax breaks or tax incentives. And then on the other side of that, the politicians and bureaucrats don't do a correlation of reducing the budget of the municipality or the county or the state. They still want to spend that much money. But if the big guy is getting these breaks over here, it's your small to medium-sized businesses that have to make that up. And that is so inherently unfair, unequal, inequitable across the board, Alan.
Right. And essentially what happens is when they start out with this tax initially, right, jet fuel tax, for instance, Delta is they have a central hub there in Georgia. So what the legislator says is if we pass this jet fuel tax, well, Delta will pay the majority of it, right, because they're the largest consumer of jet fuel in Georgia. So they pass this jet fuel. They say, hey, we're going to, you know, if you're in Colorado, they're going to say, we're going to give it to infrastructure and education, of course, right? So we never seem to see the results of that. But then down the road, the lobbyists for Delta say, hey, you know, we pay a ton of taxes in this. Is there any way we could get an exemption from it? And then, of course, they never look back and say, well, maybe this tax isn't totally necessary. Maybe this tax isn't the best thing to do. What they do is they give an exemption to this large company when they sold the tax in the first case, it was so that the large company could get taxed at a higher rate and a higher share.
And I'd like to talk more about that jet fuel tax, because that is one of the things that Georgia said to Delta, is that we may take away your exemption, or I'm not sure it's a total exemption, but it is a lower rate on that. We may take that away as well. So you're starting to see government force in this play. And your premise here is government should not be forcing whether or not it's on either side. We shouldn't be lauding the use of government force. We need to lower these taxes and regulations and all this across the spectrum. It's a very important piece that you have written, Alan Thomas, No Freedom in Exemptions. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, this show comes to you because of your contributions, because of these great partners that I have. And another one of them is Hooters Restaurants. They're located right here in the metro area. They have 5 locations. There's Loveland, Westminster, Colorado Springs, Lone Tree, and Aurora. They have all kinds of specials, to-go specials, dine-in specials. Great place just to get together with friends. In fact, I had interviewing Paula Sarles yesterday for one of our America's Veteran Stories show, and she said one of her colleagues, a woman colonel, they decided to do one of their meetings over at one of our Hooters restaurants because she's listening to the show. She said they had such a great time. So check out Hooters Restaurants. You can find all the information on my website under my sponsor tab. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Alan Thomas.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the airwaves as we search for truth and clarity. Look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. On the line with me is author Alan Thomas. He has an important piece, No Freedom in Exemptions. And Alan, force can be somewhat subtle. But with this whole moving the Major League Baseball game to Colorado because Georgia wants to shore up their voter integrity, which I think every American should really want that. But we're seeing all these subtle things on force, and we've seen these levers
that government has used regarding forests and a lot of its tax incentives, reducing regulations. But you'd mentioned the jet fuel tax, and I'd been doing some research. This was several years ago, because there is this continued kind of whisper campaign that we have not raised the gas tax in many, many years. So implying that it's time to do that. And as I was looking at different things here in Colorado, even jet fuel has an exemption on some of the taxes, on the fuel taxes. And I looked at that and I thought, how is that okay? I thought it was just Colorado. So when Georgia looked like they wanted to say, well, we're going to take away that exemption, I realized that this may be across many of the states. But again, that's not fair that the big business, these big airlines, have been getting a break on their fuel taxes, and here they want to tax everyday hardworking people more and more. What's your thoughts on that, Alan?
Well, that's really fascinating, actually, and it's at the same time completely believable, right? The airline industry as a whole is just gigantic, and it's not hard to see how they would lobby legislators and ask for a little bit of that pork to come back to them, right? And it is sad that these smaller airline companies who don't have the resources to compete with these larger airlines, it's sad that government is picking winners and losers. And it's no surprise that largely airlines are consolidating and just growing bigger, as opposed to getting more competition from smaller airlines to compete with some of these larger players.
And well, and big business and big government love each other. I wanted to mention something to you, and that is VF Corp, which moved their headquarters, I think, in 2018 to Colorado. And they're the parent company of North Face and I think Wrangler Jeans, a variety of things. But I continue to look at this. VF Corp received roughly $27 million in their incentive package from the Colorado Economic Development Commission. Of course, you hear that word commission, that's another code word for bureaucracy. But they sit around and they say, oh, to get this business to come here, if they pay less in taxes, they'll come here. Again, Alan, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if you did that across the spectrum, you would unleash prosperity for everyone across the state. But the reason they don't do it is control, right?
Right. I mean, that's the progressive model for sure, is the more that they can control businesses, the more that they can force compliance, for instance, especially regulatory. Most businesses are assumed that they are guilty until they prove that they are actually compliant to the regulations. That's the progressive model, and that's what they've been trying to implement across the board, across the country, for over 100 years now. And they've been ruthlessly effective at it. And it doesn't help when Republican lawmakers use the same vehicle to strike out against political rivals. Case in point, Senator Mike Lee and Senator Ted Cruz drafting legislation against the MLB just in response to MLB's response to this voting bill. You know, weaponizing government is wrong, whether you're a progressive or whether you're a Republican or a freedom thinker. Weaponizing government against a business is wrong. If you were to go against MLB's antitrust exemption just on the face of it and say, you know what, we shouldn't have exemptions across the board, we're going to get rid of every antitrust exemption, then you're doing it for the right reasons and you're principally congruent. But weaponizing the government just because CEO or the organization wants to do something really is an attack on free speech, and really you're agreeing that CEOs and individuals don't have the right to say really whatever they want. And that's very antithetical to what Republicans and freedom thinkers think.
And this piece that you've written, I think, really makes each of us think about the bigger picture. And this is more like a lauding these particular decisions. It's like, oh, yeah, this is a good decision. But to your point,
get rid of the exemptions across the board here. We've got a minute left, Alan Thomas. What's the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, the last thought I'd like to leave is I understand this need and this reaction that Republicans need to fight back. What we need to do, though, is not to fight back using progressive tactics by using the government. What we need to do is we need to fight back by stripping progressives of all their power, by stripping progressives of the ability to regulate, to do things the right way. To, for instance, if you're upset about public education, perhaps think about disbanding the Department of Education. We need to strip them of their actual power, which means smaller government, the proper role of government, and not weaponizing that government against them by using executive orders. We need to do it the right way. We need to really pull back the government. And when they have no power to come after conservatives, then we naturally won't have any power to go after them as well. And that's the right way to do it.
That's the way it is supposed to be, Alan Thomas. Alan Thomas, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
And be sure and check out my website on Monday. His op-ed will be there, No Freedom in Exemptions. And sign up for our weekly newsletter. We'll roll that out this Sunday. Our quote for today is from Adam Smith. He says, I have never known much good done by those who affected to trade for the public good. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.